Hey everyone, this is John, and this is the Nintendo Show, the best damn Nintendo podcast on the internet. As you may have noticed, we've split the podcast into two parts here. The first part was the already posted reaction to the most recent Nintendo Direct, and the second half here is what we've been playing, as well as the start of our Nintendo franchise tier rankings. So, let's get to it. Cue the music. I feel like I've been doing a lot of talking, so I'm going to pass it over to you guys.
I want to talk about Serpent Ninjas.
No.
So there's
pass it over to Ryan.
Pass it over to me. I played a couple of video games.
Cool.
I guess something to talk about. I guess I'll start with a game called Chasm. C-H-A-S-M.
Chasm. Heard of this.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's actually kind of an older game. I was surprised at how old it was. It came out
a while ago.
How old is 2018? Pre-pandemic.
That's a long time.
Oh, that's in the before times.
Yeah. It came out a little over a year.
So we have a while ago, a long time ago, before times.
Yeah. So the before times was Hollow Knight. Hollow Knight came out, I think, October 2017, if I remember the date when I looked it up correctly. And this one came out just about a year after that. I bring up Hollow Knight because it is very much in the vein of a Hollow Knight-style game. It's a Metroidvania with a fun kind of pixel graphics look to it, like pixel graphics, and I imagine a kind of more high-detailed Super Nintendo. Hmm. Like, if there was a super-duper Nintendo, the graphics would probably look like this game. And yeah, it is very much a Metroidvania game. You're going through a bunch of different areas. You have your weaponry and some light magic that you can use, and it's side-scrolling, and you're taking out baddies, and you just got to get memorize the patterns of the baddies so you can beat them. And unlock new items to help you explore various nooks and crannies of the dungeon. You fill in the map, collect resources, that kind of shit. The only complaint, I think, about this game, for what it's worth, the Metacritic scores gave it like a low 80s, both critics and users. People generally seem to like it, but that is the one complaint, is that it is so by the numbers. It really isn't doing anything to make itself seem new or fresh to that formula. But for what it does it very, very well. It gets everything right, even if it doesn't add anything new to the formula. The combat's a little primitive, I guess. But it really all depends on your magic abilities and you're upgrading your magic abilities. Like, for what it's worth, I found a good weapon, and I pretty much 90% of my gameplay was with two different weapons. And the game churns weapons, so you're supposed to have lots of different variety of weapons, but I found myself basically liking two and doing just
fine. Is it like
two
style of games, or two style weapons, or two specific weapons?
Yeah, no, I found a gold claymore. There is kind of a rarity to the items, so you'll find a white, which is a normal, then blue, and then gold. So even a junk item has the chance to roll as a gold item. So for what it's worth, I found a gold claymore pretty early on. Thing is slow as shit, but very, very powerful. By far the most powerful weapon I'm pretty sure I found in the entire game, and I found it maybe a quarter of the way through my gameplay. But again, very, very slow. And the other weapon I found was like this really cool swift sword that just ended up being a more reliable weapon because, again, it is very much about reading opponents. And if you lose a lot of... You can lose a lot of health quickly. And if you do, you hate to do the whole rewind. There are no health pickups along the way. You will find these nodes where you can save, and you'll go through the map through these tunnels and find new areas. But you'll always kind of have to remember the breadcrumbs of how you get back to a heal. Because if you die, you just go... You die, you go to the next... You go to your last save point, so... there is no retrieving a corpse or anything like that. So, but beyond that, yeah, it's very fun. The magic spells that you get and upgrade. Again, I think that's maybe a problem with how I played the game too. Is I didn't really experiment with that much because I found one I really, really like, just instantly maxed that one out. And again, I probably played 95% of the game using one of the six or so different types of magic spells. And I think that the idea is that certain magic spells are good against certain things, but when one is just a circling armor that does a fuck ton of damage, I've accomplished both of the things I want to do. The only thing that's tough is, like, you know, if anything, playing so much with the slowest weapon in a primarily defensive thing made me really, really good at close-up combat in the game. I think that there's probably ways to play with faster weapons, more distance attacks, that probably plays a little safer.
Yeah, that's the coward's way.
But yeah, just doing it the way that I did. But I didn't even have my first death until I was literally in the last area of, like, six areas in the game. And when that happened, that was very much a bummer moment for me, because I thought I was going to just have a complete, clean playthrough of this. I would say, there is the one hook in this game, which kind of makes no fucking sense as to why they even did it, is that it's supposed to be kind of random map generation. But it doesn't necessarily mean that. It means, like, you're going to have a grid, and there's going to be in this, like, in a general area, say in the southeast, is going to be the thing that opens up the boss chamber in the northeast. But to get there, to get into the southeast, you need to find an item in the southwest that then grants you access.
Hmm.
And all of the little chambers and stuff along the way will be kind of randomized. But the rest of that is not random, so what's the point? It just prevents you from, like, memorizing what rooms look like.
Okay.
And yeah, even strange. Then, you can tell they're reusing tile sets a lot. So every area will have a lot of very similar tile sets.
Hmm.
It's hard to describe, but I think if you played it, you'd kind of see what's up. I don't know. All in all, it was a fun game. Oh, and, like, brisk, too. Like, really brisk. My playthrough, like, literally, when I beat the boss, it stops the game and it tells me my stats on it. I beat it at exactly 8 hours and 26 seconds. So it is exactly 8 hours, and that's with trying to min-max everything. Trying to, like, go through and sort of save all of the people from the village or whatever the fuck. So, I mean, I think if you just were to, like, I just want to beat this game, I want to play through and beat this game, 5 hours. You'd probably do it in 5 hours. It's a real risk. And I got it on a discount, so it was like $5. Totally worth it for $5. The music is really good. The art style is fun. Gameplay's fine. You know, if you like a Metroidvania game, you will be, pleased. You will like this. So that was good.
Cool.
You got one of the games? Should I talk about the game now, or should we?
Yeah, go for it.
Mix it up. I beat Cult of the Lamb.
So nice.
I did get through that with the most. It's still softlocks, so I'm still going to complain about that.
Okay.
But at least every time it's softlocks so far, it's only been in town. And I've been able to save once it softlocks.
Yeah, that's what I did when it softlocked. I mean, I saved, closed it, brought it back up, took 10 seconds. I mean,
but again, all the other myriad issues with I had it, where it was just straight up crashing, not loading, all that shit. Thankfully, seems to have died down a little bit. Okay.
Did they do an update?
Here's the thing, and this is what fucking bugs me. They sure had a DLC.
Yeah.
They announced that they have a DLC for sale. So. And the DLC...
Spend more money on our broken game.
Yeah. Right, exactly. They got the DLC out before they figured out how to make a fucking stable game.
Okay.
And it's all it is doing is giving you, like, villager, character, new skins and things like that. And it's like, I don't give a shit about that. It's not even, like, new maps or new areas to play through.
I never changed the skin of the characters whenever I found them. I just made them all red for some reason.
Oh, yeah. Oh, and by the way, what I did, I don't know if part of the issue I was having was the save file itself. I literally started up a brand new run through of the game.
Hmm.
Having made it, beaten 3 of the 4 boss bishops and like 3 of 4 run throughs on the final one. I just basically threw in the towel. I was like, fuck this. And then I just started a new run through fresh. Kind of also now knowing what you need to do and what is and isn't important in all of this town building shit you have to do. Played through it way faster. And just. Much more expediently.
Yeah.
It is fun. Again, it's got a really good gameplay loop. It is kind of fun to bounce back and forth between doing these runs, collecting stuff, coming back to your village, making everybody happy. My theme this time around, I just made everybody Pokemon.
Nice.
Yeah. So it was actually kind of fun to go in and customize the characters and make them look like various Pokemon.
That's fun.
And then I beat the game. If anything, the game's easy. It's way too easy. Oh, Chasm, by the way. Back to Chasm real quick. The end boss... is obscenely hard. Like, I don't know how you're supposed to beat that last boss, aside from brute force chugging potions, which is what I did. Potions are fucking expensive, too.
Mm.
So, like, I basically spent, like, all of the money I had been harvesting, and not even upgrading my gear, but just literally buying potions for the last boss. Like, that game is the difficulty curve is so weird, because like the first 90% of the game super easy, then it just gets a crazy hard for the final boss. Like Cult of the Lamb, though, the final boss is a breeze. It's nothing. All the bosses are super easy in that game. Honestly, that game could have made the roguelite part more difficult. I feel like I should have died more than I did.
My thing with that game, I feel like they should have put more walls up when it came to the town building in conjunction with the roguelite element. Because you can just run through the one thing over and over again to get like bones to have enough to do rituals and just pretty much finish off your town without going to the second area. Like, you can just fly through the town aspect of it, and then eventually you're just like, there's nothing to do other than run through the roguelite aspect. So, I mean,
yeah, I think that's a good point. They probably should do. Oh, I mean, here's the thing: is like the last to get into the chamber of the final boss, you need 20 villagers, which is way more villagers than I want to deal with.
I mean, frankly, I had 23. I've had those since the second one, so I mean, I've just been sitting on a ton of them.
In that case, that sounds like that's more on you.
Yeah,
you should have been doing more dungeon runs.
Yeah, I should have. Yeah. But yeah, I finished off my town real quick.
Yeah, I think that you really shouldn't spend more than 2 consecutive days in game time before going back and forth between a dungeon. Then you probably should have done 2 runs a day.
Yeah.
Just to speed things up for you. I mean, yeah, again, I just, I don't know. The game just wasn't very hard compared to a lot of other, for it to even be considered a quote unquote like roguelite game.
Yeah. But still, it's so goofy to just see their eyes just suddenly glow and the hearts burst out of their face whenever they leveled up, or like the stupid look of their face as like the tentacle comes out of the ground and yanks them to hell. You're like, oh my god, like this.
Oh yeah, when you like ascend them or sacrifice them or resurrect them, it's all really funny.
It's like it's all cutesy stuff, and then all of a sudden, just something absolutely horrible happens, and you my brain melts when I see this at times. Like, all right, this is not okay.
Yeah.
There's one other game that I want to get your thoughts on, because we weren't able to do it on the official show. You finished Neon White.
Yes, I did. I actually, I got, I guess, essentially 100% completion.
Nice.
Yeah, I did, I got ace ranking on everything, found every gift on every level, and did all of the side missions and the side quest stuff with the individual characters.
Some of those side quests, man. Jeez.
There was one that was kind of annoying, but
a lot of spikes, ones, or one of the ones where you had to like,
that sounds familiar.
One of the ones where you had to like,
it was definitely a violet.
Never touch the ground.
I think it was a violet one. The violet one was pretty brutal. Where I think there was a lot of spikes that took. Yeah, well, and one where there was a bunch of walls and I had to do rocket jumps, but then I realized like I could just rocket jump to the top of the map.
Oh,
and just run all the way to the end and jump into the thing. Again, like it's. I was having so much fun with it. Like, even after I did all the 100% stuff, I literally started watching, because there is that hidden rank. There is the developer run time, which I honestly think most of those times probably couldn't be done on a Switch unless you had, a mouse and keyboard plug-in. A lot of it seems like it's way too tactical that you need a mouse and keyboard.
Yeah, you got to be really precise. And the Switch, especially if you're like using motion controls, is very...
Yeah.
You have to do a lot of like correction.
But I did that for a bunch of levels where I was like, okay, let me just at least see what they're trying to do, even if I don't get a developer rank, let me just see what they're attempting to do. And every single one that I watched through, I was like constantly finding neat little ways to shave off time. And even the runs where I was like, you know, hey, I had a better time than you, John. I had a better time than my nephew, Michael.
Nice.
But I was still able to shave like 2 seconds off that time too. If it, you know, where it was like my best time was 17 seconds, now I'm down to 15. Really cool seeing all of the different strats people had for the various levels. There's
really
just,
really good game,
and there's so much clever design to it. You know, just the environments that they make are just serene and gorgeous. The soundtrack is wonderful, and you'll notice that the soundtrack loops. Like, it's not like it's a soundtrack that starts and then when the level's over it starts over again. It's just a track that constantly plays, and the various stages carry forward that same song. You know? So it just sort of has this really wonderful flow to it. This should be one of the most, like, anxious, nervous, intense games, and yet it always feels so therapeutic to play it. So I absolutely love this game. It is wonderful.
Yeah, I'm excited to see where this developer goes next, because I think that all the stages, like, just the level designs are really expertly crafted. Because there's, you know, some levels where you're like, okay, what is it? Where am I supposed to go next? But it hardly ever happens. They're very good at pointing you where you should be going, and then you just got to figure out how to get there. And even, like, levels where, like, sometimes it's possible to get a little bit lost. Like, once you figure it out the first time, then you're trying to find the most efficient route, which is, of course, the fun of the game, is trying to figure out what's the best way to do this. Mm. Yeah. Super good.
Oh, and then again, also, it's great that the fact that they make you find that hidden, even if you don't care about the side quest stuff or the character arcs, I mean, it's not really necessary to complete the game, but having you then search for a hidden item makes you rethink the level. Mm. Where, again, it's not about a time trial. It doesn't matter you finding the gift in a certain amount of time. That doesn't mean anything. It's literally just exploring the environments and thinking of clever ways to use your resources to explore the maps.
Yep.
It is a unique game. I feel like it's a unique game, so really worth checking out if anyone hasn't yet.
Wes, tag in.
So I grabbed two games. The first one, because I love Gundam, I grabbed the SD Gundam Battle Alliance, Battle Assault. I don't fucking know. It's a long name. Who cares?
Yeah. And that one hasn't been out for very long.
It has not. I didn't know it came out. That was the thing, because they never really, like, said it's coming out this this time, and so it just kind of snuck up on me. I was like, oh shit, that's out, and I just immediately tried to buy it in GameStop and looked like an idiot. You're
running out the door, not even bother closing it, like getting to your car.
Yeah, like I went into the GameStop. I was like, do you have this game? They're like, no. And he, like, looked at me like,
what the fuck knocking are you over doing? People's trash cans on the way.
I was like, you dick. Like this. And then I found out it's download only in the US, but whatever.
That's right. You were telling me about that. Like, you got harassed by a GameStop employee.
Yeah, so, like, I guess I'll tell the story again for the listeners and everything like that. Well,
we never skimp on opportunities to shit on GameStop.
No. So, I mean, I've worked retail a long time. It's been a while. Since the before times, I've worked retail.
Since before February?
Yeah.
Oh, my God.
Since the before times.
Do you think that if we had, like a podcast about sports or something, we would be like, you know, I was at Foot Locker the other day, and those dirt bags were all like...
Yeah, I think we probably would.
We would be talking shit about, like, Dick's Sporting Goods or something. Or
fuck Foot Locker.
Yeah.
But Dick's Sporting Goods are solid, though.
But I get a lot of, like, video game questions and stuff, and so... Like, now and then somebody would come in and just ask the dumbest question. I'm thinking, like, what the fuck? Like, the day after the E3 that announced Fallout 76, they had that weird collector's edition where you get the helmet and shit. The very next day, someone came to my store and was like, hey, do you have this? I want to look at the helmet. I'm like, no, that's a year plus out of the way. No, I don't have this thing yet. Mm-hmm. And then I had that instance in GameStop where I was like, hey, do you have this Gundam game? And the guy looked at me like I was a fucking idiot. I was like, no, I don't have this game. What are you talking about?
But if he knew what he was doing, I assume this is a man because he was condescending.
Yeah, it's just this little punk kid. I don't know,
he was probably like, but we have all of these little models. screw you.
Delightful. But if he had known what he was doing, he would have sold you a download code. He'd be like, oh, no, that game's digital only. I can sell you a download code. That way he, like, gets your business. But no, he took this opportunity to be a prick.
Yeah. Screw GameStop.
Yeah. To hell with them.
Yeah.
This is why Amazon's put them out of business.
Best website on Amazon. But this game.
Yeah.
I enjoy it. I like to preface this with, I enjoy it. There are certain aspects of this game that I do view as... I don't know.
Problematic?
It's kind of not really problematic, just kind of plain. It's kind of simplistic. Like, the whole premise of this game is you're playing through events that happened in the various Gundam animes. And they'll do something weird where they have a break version where, like, this one suit's supposed to show up, and then something happens, and it's this other one from a completely different anime. Mm. And now you have to fight him instead of this one. And then... you gotta fix the timeline and shit. Like, that's kind of like the premise of it. And as you're going through these missions, you're unlocking blueprints to get more and more of these mobile suits from the various Gundam games. And there's a shit ton in here. I looked up a list. It's like 30 plus. There's a shit ton of mobile suits in this game you can get.
It's like a third of the roster of Smash Brothers.
Yeah, that's crazy.
That's massive.
Yeah. And then the problematic part I find is you'll play through it in the break mission, where the only thing that's weird is like the final boss is not supposed to be that. And then you'll have to play through it in the true version to fix the timeline as the exact same fucking mission up until the final boss, where it's the correct mobile suit that you're supposed to fight. So a lot of these missions, you're playing multiple times for like the thing. And you're just kind of like running through these over and over again. And even all the missions kind of just blend together at some point. It's just a series of corridors. And at certain points in the corridors, there's some random bunch of mobile suits that you got to fight through. And then you get to the final boss. And then it's not the correct one. And then you play through the mission again with those various corridors. And then it's the correct final boss for the story. And it's just that over and over and over again. And it gets interesting. The interesting part of it is they do have like different move sets and things like that. And so there is, as you play more of the game, you get a little bit more into it and you get a little faster pace in your movements and stuff like that. So you learn move sets and things like that. But they have like a counter block, but it's really sluggish. I don't know. There's just small aspects of the game that just doesn't really flow well, in my opinion. But it still is a lot of fun. I just don't think it's like a game that someone who isn't a diehard Gundam fan would enjoy. Because a lot of the joy that I'm having was like, oh look, I can use the Gushin from the fan service. Iron. Yeah, it's
pretty not like the pervy kind of fan service, but like no. Fan service. Yeah,
I've watched all these different Gundam shows. I build the models. I build all the little models.
I'm glad you're on board with this now.
Yeah. And so now I'm using the different suits in these different missions, and they can get pretty fast paced sometimes when you get into it and stuff like that.
If you're like using a suit and you have the model for it, do you put the model next to you?
I don't think I really have any built yet.
Okay.
I'm about done with an Exia model. I have Exia. I think that's really like it. Cause all the other suits, I don't think I've built models for yet.
Hmm. Okay.
I played a little bit of it, but I played like one.
You played one mission,
Is there any like verticality to it? I mean, it seems like what we were playing. It looks like it's all like on flat surfaces, and yeah, you can kind of jump up a little bit, but it's all very much like
it's just that it's just corridors.
You're in like mech suits. Shouldn't you be able to fly?
Yeah, like the flying in that is you can jump and then hold the button to hover for a bit, but then you will eventually descend.
Yeah,
so you can't stay up there even if you have more energy meter.
So there's no like actual fights in space or anything?
Not yet. I mean, I hope so at some point, but I don't know how they're going to do that. Because the whole thing, like when I say corridors, is like it's in the mountain range, or it's in this city where you're locked in these small little areas, or you're moving through a space station through these different corridors in there. Like it's all locked areas.
You're in the space station. You got to take pictures of ghosts.
Well, they'll have like a big open area where you'll fight, but you'll have to go to corridors to get to the different multiple big open areas for the tougher fights.
I don't know.
It seems like a lot of
the gameplay looked like fun, though. I mean,
it is fun when you like kind of get into it and stuff like that. And some of these bosses are like really brutal. Like I showed you that one that I was fighting. I was fighting the mobile armor from Iron Blood Orphans, the big angel, and that thing is just beating the shit out of me. I'm 5 levels up on the thing, and I can't do a thing to that. That boss I've died a bunch to, and that's not the only one where it just beats the shit out of me. Like some of these mobile suits, like it's even better to pick certain ones than certain bosses. Like there's one mission where you're on the fucking moon, but there's no vertical. It's the same thing. You're just on the fucking moon.
And do you bounce higher?
No. It's just
okay.
Just different. You're just on a moon. That's it.
And there's this just like gray and dusty.
There's this one boss where it's a big bowl armor suit thing. Except if you're using a mech that uses beam weaponry, it won't damage it.
So this was like type alignment sort of thing, like
kind of like it's, weapons because it goes with the anime. Because like in the anime, that particular suit couldn't get hit by beam rifles. Like that was something with his. It had like a field or something. I didn't know that because it was part of an anime of one that I didn't watch. And I'm seeing like every attack my guy does is beam rifle, so I have to restart the mission to pick a different suit. Like I literally can't finish it with that suit. So it was just kind of a weird thing. But you know, there's 3 different kinds. There's infighters, sharpshooters, and all-rounders. Different suits have different roles that they fit. You level them up literally with just money.
You're tank, just healer, DPS.
Buying stats. So you like, if you want to get one suit really big, you just replay a bunch of missions over and over again to get money to just pour it into stats. I mean, it's pretty simplistic when it comes down to like the core stuff. And the story in between missions, like, I cannot care any less about it at all. I haven't read a damn thing about it. Just skip, go to the mission. I don't care. And they do this annoying thing where, like, in the animes, with Gundam animes, like, they're fighting and everything, but they're always talking to each other while they're fighting and stuff like that. So there's all this dialogue as the suits are fighting. And they do the same thing in this, except they pop up two little windows for the characters talking in the corner of the screen while you're trying to play the fucking game. And it's taking up screen for this chat that I'm not reading because I'm fucking fighting the thing. And it's all in Japanese, so I have to read it if I were to, like, figure out what they're actually talking about.
It's voiced in Japanese.
And subtitles. And yeah, it's voiced in Japanese, but they have English subtitles. Like, I'm not going to read this while I'm trying to fight these five mobile suits. Like, I don't...
How will you know why you're fighting them?
Give a damn about this. Like, I have no idea what's going on in the story. And it's like, you're killing my screen with shit I cannot partake in. Like, it's... I don't know. It's enjoyable. But unless you're a diehard Gundam fan, I wouldn't really recommend it.
I know this is kind of a shitty thing to bring up. How much was this game?
Yeah, it's full price.
It's a triple A title.
Yeah, it's big.
It's priced like a triple A title.
Yeah.
So that was my big thing when I saw this as part of like a here's games coming to the Switch in September, and I watched a quick blast of that gameplay, and I'm like, that looks fun. It's the chibi art style. I bet it's $19. No, it's not.
$59.
This is three times $19.
Yeah.
Probably will be soon.
That's the thing. I mean,
if you wanted to play this thing, I would say just wait till it goes cheap.
Yeah, if this seems like
a year from now, I'll have some kind of big sale, like Mortal Kombat. They'll go down to like giving it away, shooting out cans and sporting events. Who gives a shit? Like,
yeah. I mean, again, it doesn't look terrible or anything, but yeah.
Yeah, No
Surf Ninja.
You look at this game and you compare it to like Xenoblade Chronicles 3. Like, those games are the same price.
Yeah, you're gonna get a lot more out of Xenoblade than this game. But
and far be it for me to tell anyone what to do with their money.
Or what, Kirby's Dream Vehicle Simulator? Yeah,
I don't know if that's real, but it should be.
Mm-hmm. See, we just need to make like Barbie stuff except for Kirby's Dream House and Kirby's.
Yeah. Kirby's Malibu.
It's actually it's a farming simulator, but it's just Kirby. You have to plant more Kirbys.
Oh my god.
As you gotta water your Kirbys.
Yeah, exactly.
What was that even that Kirby where there were a bunch of little Kirbys?
Mass Attack.
Oh, god, I loved Mass Attack. Yeah, Mass Attack was so really good.
That's an underrated Kirby.
Can we get that ported to the Switch?
That'd be amazing. Or just a new one.
Nintendo, listen, just we want more Mass Attack.
I really do.
That game was good. Had it's weird like, minigames that had nothing to do with the core game.
To hell with Pikmin. Kirby Mass Attack. That's what we need. It's the game we deserve.
Next time some dev comes to you and says they're farming you, they're going to give you some kind of farming simulator, just be like, how's about instead? We give you a game, you play it for a week and try to make that happen.
Wes, you got any other games?
I got one more game.
Let's do it.
And the only reason why I got this game was because it went on sale for like $15 and it's only like a $60 game. So I was like, I had no interest in this game at all. But I was like, fuck it. It's $15. Who cares? Let's try this out. Digimon.
I saw you playing
this. Grabbed a Digimon game.
I saw you playing this in your activity feed.
Grabbed a fucking Digimon game. I don't know why.
Couldn't wait for Temtem anymore?
Really? No, I'm not playing Temtem. I'll make jokes about it, but I'm not playing Temtem. But it's like Pokemon meets... like a Final Fantasy kind of RPG where
Is this Digimon Survive?
No. Because that one looked interesting to me. Digimon Survive. So that I put that one on my... I don't know why. I can't remember.
You're allowed to like whatever you want.
I grew up with Digimon. I like it. Who cares? And this one I had no interest in at all. It was cheap. So that was the one before, the Cyber Sleuth.
Okay.
So you're some cyber detective.
Is this a detective game? Oh shit. Is there a double jump?
No, there's no double jumps.
No.
But it feels like an old PlayStation game where they're like, here's your mission, but they won't tell you like jack shit about it except for like a sentence, and so you're just wandering around for 20 minutes not knowing where you're supposed to actually fucking go.
They do that shit in GoldenEye too.
I mean, it just looks like it and it feels like an old game. And when it comes to the actual gameplay, so far
it doesn't matter who I'm using when it comes to the Digimon. I'm one-shotting everything. So it doesn't matter who the fuck I'm using. It's a lot of Digimon collecting. And the way you get them, you don't catch them like a Pokemon game. It's literally through refighting them. When you start a battle, you scan them. And so you get a little more information out of them. When you 100%, you can go back to this DigiLab thing and make an egg of them.
Okay.
And then you have to go and scan them again to make another one.
Got it.
If you want to get multiples.
Okay. Gotcha.
Because in this game, they level up, and then they different stages with Digimon, because, you know, they digivolve and shit.
Of course,
yeah. So there's different stages. So the lower stages will max out, like, level 9 or something like that, and then you have to digivolve into the next stage. But each one has, like, 4 or 5 choices.
There's a branching tree.
Yeah, okay. Based on what stats you hit, or if you've used it in battle, there's this cam stat, which is literally just you using it in battle gets cam. I don't know. It's a weird stat. I don't know what it's
like. Kind of like effort values or something?
It determines with combo. So in the combat, there is a chance for a combo to happen between two of your guys, but that's based on your cam stat. And so there's a chance for one of your guys, when they use a move, they'll combo with another one to deal a little bit more damage. And that's based on the cam stat, which is camaraderie.
Mm-hmm.
That's what it means.
Yeah, clearly. Yeah.
And so some Digivolutions, God, I can't believe I'm having this goddamn conversation, are based on the cam stat as well. So, like, and there are different types. There's, like, two different sets of types. Like, there's virus, data, and vaccine, and then there's a free type. And then those are kind of like the weapon arts, triangle from, like, Fire Emblem.
Gotcha.
It works like that, and then free is just not strong or weak against anything. Mm.
Typeless.
And then there is, like, an elemental aspect of it, which is the same way. And so they'll have a type, and then they'll have an element. And so you have to take those into consideration about what's going to be strong against this one and weak to this one. So there's a lot going on, but I'm fucking one-shotting everything right now anyway, so it does not matter. So unless this game suddenly has a difficulty spike, I'm going to say this game's complete utter shit. Because there's just... I'm one-shotting everything.
They give me these systems, but then you don't actually engage with them.
I'm looking at it right now, and if I'm reading this correctly, a cat becomes a bear,
yep.
A bear becomes a cactus, and then the cactus becomes a shark.
Yep.
Classic.
Weird shit fucking, like this happens. Yeah. It's a game. Huge... tree when it comes to Digimon. It's really weird. It's very Japan. It's very, very, like...
And I'm like, all these last guys, they look kind of the same.
Yeah.
They all look super generic.
You ever watched the show when you were a kid?
No, it's like 20 versions of Zekrom.
Yeah.
This looks so stupid. And then camera up.
that's the thing. Anytime there's any sort of complaints about the designs of any Pokemon, like, I always encourage people, like, go check out, you know, the fucking Digimon, or what was that other thing, the Yo-Kai. Check out some design from Yo-Kai Watch.
You know, that was pretty bad.
Because then you have a greater appreciation for Trubbish.
There's one that's literally Legos. It's made of Legos.
Yep. Amazing.
This is so stupid. Yep.
It's like a Porygon.
I mean, it's doing a lot of things where I'm hoping it gets better when it comes to the actual combat, because right now the combat it's meaningless. Mm. I'm just cycling through guys to level them so I can change them into different dudes.
Even that, like, that's pretty poor design. Like, that's not a good way of getting people to actually learn your systems, as if early on it doesn't matter if you're engaging with it or not. That's why Pokemon is always like, okay, your first three are fire, water, grass. You learn this, you will have a basic grasp of how type alignments work in the game.
Yeah. Like, it's kind of just all over the place.
Mm.
But there's little things that they're doing that, like, I hope this game gets better, because it does look interesting to, like, build a team around certain things, because there's a lot going on with their types and stuff. Not as much as Pokemon, but there's a lot of, like, little strategies, I think. Like, your guys will eventually, I think the most moves that they can know at a time is, like, 20.
Oh, shit, okay.
But you do change them out, because they will learn more and stuff like that. And there's certain strategies in order to build stats and everything. Like, you can devolve them to have them go through the levels again to get more stats, or to take them down a different tree with a different character and stuff. Okay. So there's a lot of team building and stuff. I can see a lot of strategy
and team building aspects of this that looks really interesting. There are field skills that you can use, there's a skill to like increase encounters or to just lower the chance of encounters, and there's like little things like that that they're doing here and there, but the areas that you're walking through are just plain white backgrounds that you're going through. You're having these conversations with people that you don't know why you're having these conversations with people. There's very little direction at times. There's a lot of side quests. You can't grab multiple side quests and just do them on the side while you're working on your main quest. You literally can grab one quest at a time and have to go complete that before you can grab another quest.
How archaic.
Yeah, it's some interesting things. And the other reason why I grabbed this is it's a dual pack. So there's two games in here.
Oh, that's...
So, I mean...
It'd be foolish not to.
If I like this, then I have another fucking game. It was $15. Who gives a shit?
It seems
See
like,
how this goes.
It seems like it's taken a while to get to the good stuff. And there's a general rule. They're more like guidelines.
Why do you do that with a pirate accent?
There's a general rule of writing.
Don't let him move past this. What the fuck was that?
That was a quote from something. I'm trying to remember what that was.
Pirates of the Caribbean.
Alright.
There's when you're writing something, general rule is when you get far enough into it, cut your first paragraph. Because you're probably just vamping at that point. Mm. That early on. Kinda seems like Digimon should have cut the first paragraph.
I mean, there's an auto battle. You just the second you win the battle, you just hit the plus sign and go auto. That's what I do. I just hit auto battle and just let them. Instead of me clicking the button four times and getting through the fight, I just hit auto battle and just wait till they're done and just move on. So, I mean, I keep playing it because I see what it can do. I'm hoping it's going to get there because it is interesting. You can merge two of them together to make certain ones. It's taking a bit of a bunch of different games that we like.
and mixing them up poorly.
Yeah, like I'm hoping it gets good. I'm gonna keep at it.
Well, good.
Well, the article I found here, you know, it seems like you got a good deal because 6 years ago on the PS Vita, it was $55.
Very good.
So
yeah.
So this game's been out for a while.
Yeah. A while. 6 months ago it came out.
No, from the before times.
This game is 6 years. This thread is at least 6 years old.
I didn't know this game was that old. I guess it was a port when it came to the Switch.
Yeah.
So speaking of auto battling. I got a few games to get through here. One of them, Xenoblade. I am almost to the credits, so I'm at a point in the game where I've been through a particular area. I'm not going to get into spoilers, but then there's a big door, and behind the big door is the alleged final boss. We'll see. Japanese RPGs have this this way of adding more on. Maybe sometimes they shouldn't, but this is there's a big door. You can go into the door, but then it gives you messages like, hey, once you go in here, there's going to be there's some things that you're going to be locked out of accessing. So it kind of seems like this is the end of the game. So rather than going there, I went and backtracked, started doing some other things. And I actually was yesterday going to just go and try to finish the game off. But then I found this cave that I had found before, but it was super early on in the game. I was like in the low 20s and there were level 77 enemies in front of this cave. I was like, okay, I better come back here later. But then I forgot where the cave was. And yesterday when I was just kind of poking around doing nothing in particular, I found again. I was like, I'm certainly going in there. So I didn't end up finishing the game. I went in there instead. But you mentioned auto battles, and why I bring it up is because I've been doing a lot of item grinding in the game, and it has been super handy, especially when fighting lower level enemies. Now that I have my character set up and built in certain ways, like, okay, I'm just really going after this guy for the loot. Go ahead, engage with the fight, tap the button to auto battle, and let them finish him off. That way I don't have to go through the entire process of actually selecting commands and stuff. I can just get them, get my gear, and move on, and to use that loot to build more gear and stuff. There's also a few areas in the game toward the end that are very battle-heavy. And I do like the battles, but at a certain point, like I've been playing for like an hour, I'm either going to take a break or I'm going to let the game beat up these enemies for me. Because I'm going through this area, I might be in the mid-70s. They're down at levels in the low 60s, but they're still aggroing me. So like, you're not really much of a challenge. I'm just going to let the game finish you off really quick. The battles themselves, I like them. They're slightly... I think me and Wes talked about this before. They're not as I suppose, fluid or cohesive as they were in Xenoblade 2, where everything was building toward one common end, or one like final maneuver that you were trying to work toward. Whereas in Xenoblade 3, there's like three different things where that you can use to finish off a battle or do a lot of damage in a battle. You can do your chain attack, you can have your Ouroboros fusions, and then at a certain point in the game, your main character dude, Noah, he gets some super moves that you can build toward. But none of them really act together very well. You're going to be doing one of the three and probably only one of those three. And if you're doing a couple of them, you're going to do one and then the other. So it doesn't have like that cohesive nature of you're just going to try to build toward one thing. And everything is working together very well. It's a little bit more disjointed, I guess, is the word that I'm looking for there. Well, it was no big deal. Like, I still find the battles fun, just not as fun as they were in Xenoblade 2. You do get a lot more freedom to build your characters and spec out your characters with different job class arts and skills. Exploring the game has been really, really great. There are a number of areas that are just really fun to poke around and find secrets and stuff.
Oh, did we bring up that the new DLC said that there was going to be new skins, new costumes, and then it immediately showed them all in their beach gear?
Oh, yeah, of course.
Wow.
Looking forward to it.
Yep.
Yep.
Is that a serious thing, or are we joking?
No, it's totally real.
That was in there.
Them in beach gear?
Yeah, yeah. Absolutely. Yeah,
like bikinis and whatnot.
I don't know their obsession with beach gear. I don't.
It is a thing, specifically in Japanese RPGs. Eventually, you're just going to get some cosmetics, some costumes, where you're just going to put some characters and some board shorts and bikinis. It's just something's going to happen.
I mean, when they did that with Fire Emblem Three Houses, and you're just like, what the fuck? This guy's got a giant sword. Why is he just in beach shorts?
It must be really difficult to swim with that sword. But not a problem in Xenoblade. The swords just disappear when they're done with them.
That's true. That is true.
So they just conjure them out of nowhere. But yeah, I'm looking forward to more.
Did they ever explain that?
No. Well, no, of course not. Why would they have to?
They didn't explain that at all.
The explanation is a video game. That's how they explained it. Hmm. But yeah, so... really dig in Xenoblade, get near the end. Once there are things that are actually like post-game content, like a lot of RPGs have. There are certain like hero quests that I won't be able to access until post-game, until after I roll the credits. It's not like there, so far there haven't been any like characters, like actual blades that have been locked out. I've been able to get everyone that has been an option. But they have like they call them their ascension quests. It's when they break their level cap and are able to like increase their job level from 10 to 20 when you do like the second part of their quest. And some of that's locked behind the end game. And that sort of thing, like you'd really only want to engage with these extra quests if you want to take on super bosses or if you're just really into the idea of 100%ing. I'll probably try to take on a few of them once I roll the credits.
I mean, you're like 80-something, so you could take on like the majority of them anyways, yes. Right?
Yeah. Yeah, and if I use my bonus experience, I will be in the high 90s.
Yeah, so I mean, you can already do it. Yeah. So, I mean,
yeah, sure can.
This game is so generous with experience.
Yeah, it really is.
Just drowns you. You just get waterboarded with experience.
And I think they probably realize that, and that's why once you get to the post game, you're able to lower your level back down. Mm-hmm. So that if you want to grind out experience and like max out all of your jobs, it's easier if you're at a lower level than your enemy. Hmm. And we talked about this before, and I think we're a little hazy on the details, but once you are 5 levels over the enemy that you are fighting, you stop accruing experience to unlock the job class that you're trying to unlock.
Oh, that one I didn't know.
Yeah, you still, like if you're at a job level 2, you will still gain experience to like level up that job, but if there's someone in your party and trying to unlock their job, you won't gain any experience toward that.
Oh, okay. Yeah. So you still level up your class that you have unlocked, but unlocked, you can't earn.
Yep. Yep, exactly.
Well, that's... All right.
Yeah, it's a way of, I guess, trying to gate your progress. I don't know.
Stop drowning me in experience.
Right. Right. Stop making experience now it's so plentiful.
Now it's a race to unlock the classes before you can't.
Yeah, you're trying to like manage how many battles you're getting into. It's like, I don't want to level up too much or I'm not going to be able to do this other thing. Also playing Splatoon 3. I'll get to more of that in the official show. I won't touch on it now.
10 million units sold. Splatoon 3. Very popular game.
Oh, so yeah. And 3+ million in Japan. Fastest selling Switch game in Japan.
If you'll remember correctly, we talked about Hikaru Utada. She has the record for most albums sold in a week in her region, and it was in Japan. She sold as many copies of her album as Splatoon 3 sold.
Amazing.
Impressive.
Good for her. Yeah. She did it.
I like to credit...
I wonder if she bought... I bet you there's some crossplay there where she probably bought a copy of...
Probably.
Splatoon 3, yeah. And I bet her music's on the soundtrack.
I like to credit the Splatoon success to that one guy at the investors meeting.
In the lab coat.
In the lab coat, yeah. Pretending to be one.
No, he was committed.
He was. It was not the right crowd.
His enthusiasm alone probably moved 1 million units.
I was trying to find that video because I wanted to watch this again. But I couldn't find it.
Yeah.
But God, that was a train wreck.
I also got the Cowabunga Collection. Ryan, have you been playing any of that?
Yeah, I've played it too. Mm-hmm.
I've played through most of the beat-em-ups, both of the arcade ones, as well as one of the ones on for NES. Me and the girls started playing Turtles in Time, but they got bored and bailed. And there's no way to to drop out, so I had
That was the one I played. I played Turtles in Time, SNES, right?
Mm-hmm.
I played that one, and then I played the Game Boy ones, which were fucking amazing. One of the Game Boy ones was amazing.
I haven't gotten to any of the Game Boy ones yet, but I'm looking forward to those. There's the arcade Turtles in Time, and then there's the Super Nintendo Turtles in Time. And, they're significantly different.
Yeah.
There's, extra content in the Super Nintendo version. The Super Nintendo version actually looks better, in my opinion. They remix some of the bosses in the Super Nintendo version. You know, in the part in the Super Nintendo Turtles in Time where you have to, take the Foot Clan soldiers and throw them into the screen because Shredder's there with his
club. That's not, the gun thing.
That's not in the arcade.
Oh, interesting.
Yeah, weirdly enough.
Well, they could have left that thing out. That was kind of an annoying fight.
Really? I thought that was kind of a cool one.
Yeah.
Well, whatever.
I unveiled it.
Different strokes.
Yeah.
The arcade versions of the game are kind of cool because you can just press your start button and pump more credits into the arcade machine, as it were, and just give yourself infinite lives.
Yeah.
Which the girls found incredibly amusing because in one of the versions it made them say cowabunga, and they really just liked having them say cowabunga over and over again. It was pretty great.
Nice.
And then there are a bunch of different things where you can mess around that will sort of adjust the difficulty. And kind of allow you to tune it to the way you want to play. There's a thing called God Mode, which basically turns you invincible. You can't take damage, and all of your attacks will one-shot any enemies, which is a really good way to speed through a game if you really want to.
Yeah, it's probably just for people that want to just look at the game.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they don't really care necessarily about the gameplay as much as they do. They just want to see the environments and everything.
Yeah. So yeah, it's cool that there's sort of have the malleable difficulty there. I haven't played through all of the NES Ninja Turtles game yet, but I'm farther than I've ever gone in that game, which I probably got to the 30% mark back on the NES back in the day. But I got through the dam level, and I was into the city where you're roaming around in the turtle van. You have to find the missiles to destroy the barricades. I'm actually really impressed by just the ambition of the NES game, where they were really close to having this sort of Metroid style or maybe Blaster Master style game where you have levels where you're entering and it's dumping you out in a different part of the overworld and maybe allowing you to access a different part of the map, or maybe some levels are utterly pointless except there's a health pickup in there. Some levels are you go in there and it's so you find a grappling hook that allows you to go back to a different level and get over a chasm that's going to take you to the place where you need to be. They mess around with some different ideas, and I think if they spent more time focusing on what it would be like to make a sort of a Metroid or sort of have a puzzle aspect to this, would have made for a really cool game. As it is, the platforming, though, is really kind of floaty and imprecise. There are sometimes where there are gaps where the type of jump you're supposed to use is not very intuitive. Sometimes there are gaps where you're just supposed to walk over it rather than using a jump, and you'll make it. and that's they didn't do a very good job of pointing out what sort of things you're supposed to be doing in those places. It's a good thing this game you're just allowed to save anywhere, because whenever I would come up with like to a gap that looked a little bit suspect, I was like, no, save. And let's just try normal jump. Nope, can't do a normal jump. And then you have to kind of like feather your way over there. I think it's also good that it has just these save points, because they're not very generous with health pickups. And there are some points where damage is just nearly unavoidable. Unless you've played through the game many, many times and are aware of which turtle you're going to want to be using in which situation, who's got the fastest attack to take on these incoming enemies, and who's got the best damage range. A lot of times this is like Donatello the game. You always want to be Donatello because he's pumping out the most damage at the most range, but he does have the slowest attacks. So there are points where it's beneficial to switch to someone else. Then there are times where there's just instant death areas. And when a turtle dies, there are places where you can go to like rescue them and like gain that extra life to bring them back, but they're few and far between. So, you know, if Donatello dies, you're pretty much fucked.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, actually, I remember watching a video recently just about the jump mechanics of the NES Turtles game, and talking about that it was basically bad game design compared to a lot of other games' jumping mechanics, and just that there's, you know, three levels of jumping in it, and one is literally just like you have to tap it for one frame, exactly one frame to get that jump, and then the long jump requires you to hold it for like almost a second. Like, you know, again, just an eternity for a game in which you have to do precise jumping. And just that there were constantly very mean, like you're saying, you had to save it before, where they would constantly give you these gaps and a ceiling right above the gap.
Yep.
And if you do anything longer than that one frame jump, you're going to fall down the pit.
And you got to work your way all the way back around and enemies respawn.
Yeah. Just that it was kind of an unfair and kind of poorly made jump.
Yeah.
Considering that, you know, again, that's the system that's got Mario, and Mario's got the perfect jump.
Yep.
It's kind of weird.
Yeah, but I think if they had approached this game as like, okay, how do we make this like cool sort of puzzle game where you're like exiting and re-entering levels, like maybe with a different item or a different skill now, or is it a different turtle? I think it could have been really interesting. It would have been interesting to see like where they could have taken that in future installments. But, you know, the turtles being what they are, they're just well-suited to beat-em-up games. So a lot of the games are just kind of beat-em-ups.
Yeah, cowabunga, pizza time.
Word.
Right? It's really easy to make that thing happen, you know? Who doesn't love Ninja Turtles?
Everyone loves turtles. That's why we're a turtles podcast.
Yeah, we are.
So, last thing before we're done here, real quick. We're not going to spend a ton of time doing this. There are some other Nintendo podcasts on the internet. This is the best one, obviously.
Clearly. Yeah, we're the best damn Nintendo podcast.
We say it at the beginning because it's true. We wouldn't be allowed to say it
The cursedest one, apparently, too.
Huh? Yeah, we're you know, the biggest bunch of cunts on the internet.
Hey.
So there's another Nintendo podcast. IGN does it. Call it Nintendo Voice Chat. They did this thing recently where they did like a tier maker of Nintendo franchises. It was bad. They did a bad job. We're here to correct the record. we're not going to do this all at once. There are way too many Nintendo franchises. We're going to do this piecemeal.
So not only are we going to steal something that another podcast did, but we're going to make fun of them in the process of stealing what they did.
If they had done it better, we wouldn't have to do this, but we have to. And also, I don't feel bad about this, because I'm pretty sure they stole one of our ideas. Remember, like, a few months back when we did, like, this, there's the Nintendo sales data with all, like, the million sellers, and we played a game about which game sold more. Yeah. Not, like, a month after that, they did something similar. A worse version.
Yeah.
Obviously. But they did it. And now they've been called out.
God, I hope they're listening. I really...
How else would they have stolen my game?
I hope they're listening so much.
If they hadn't...
Because that way we'd be confirmed that we do have people listening.
Hey, you know
I'm going to go click through all those pop-up ads and write them an angry email.
Hey, and you know what? If any one of them are listening, the next time you want to play a game, give us a call first. We'll come host your game so you can do it right.
Yeah.
So, God. There are a ton of Nintendo franchises. I don't even have them all listed here.
Is it like S, A, B, C, D, F?
Right. So,
and one.
And we're only going to do a few today because we'll go through all of these over the next several months.
Sure. Do
the ones we want to. So basically, like, I think there should be some criteria. First of all, like notoriety, just like public awareness of what this franchise is.
Yeah.
I think sales could also be part of that criteria. If it sells a lot, clearly it's a more important franchise. We're not just basing this on how much we like Advance Wars. I like Advance Wars a lot. That one probably won't be high on the tier. Also, like the prestige, like how high in regard Nintendo themselves holds this franchise. Nintendo doesn't give a fuck about F-Zero. It doesn't matter how much we love F-Zero. It's not an S-tier.
I don't like F-Zero.
Okay, that's totally fine. And also, like, nostalgia. Nostalgia should also play a factor in this. Like, if it's got a built-in fan base, like, that sort of stuff matters. So, with all that in mind, I think that there are a few that we can just take off the list immediately because these are obvious S-tier.
And I would say guaranteed S-tier would be Mario.
Mario.
Kirby Dream Cafe.
But these are franchises, not individual.
Okay, my mistake.
Mario and Zelda.
Mario Zelda, for sure.
I feel like Metroid could slip into A, but I feel like it's just too well loved to not leave out of
We're gonna save Metroid for a time where we can talk about it a bit more. Because okay. I teeter on Metroid as well.
Yeah,
because I really love Metroid.
And I think Kirby, just for the sheer volume of games that they've released over it, I think it gets that legacy nod into S.
We're gonna bank Kirby as well because okay. I think we can have a discussion
too much
about
going
Kirby.
On with that to really say
Zelda and Mario.
I think are locks. Those
for
are
sure.
Locks, yeah.
Pokemon for sure.
Oh yeah.
S tier. Also, I have two other things that I want to nominate for a lock. Super Smash Brothers.
Does that really count as a
yeah.
franchise?
Yeah.
I mean, for sure, yeah. I mean, by that stretch, Mario Kart.
Mario Kart as well is one of the ones. And I have Mario broken down to, like, Mario, as in, like, mainline Mario, like, platformers, Mario Kart, like, Mario sports games, Mario Party.
Okay.
So we can break things up. So the three are definite S tiers, unless you guys have any objections. We got Zelda, Mario Kart, Mario, Pokemon, and Smash.
I'm cool with that.
It's fine.
Okay. So the ones that I wanted to talk about today
let's hear
on this particular podcast.
I don't like the look in their face.
Let's start with Fire Emblem, fellas.
Fire Emblem.
Where does this series go? This series has been around for a long time, since the late 1980s. It didn't come to North America until 2003 on the GBA. But like from 2003 to 2007, there were a ton of games, a couple on the GBA, a couple on the GameCube. Then there was one on the DS, and the series went dark for a while.
I would say this is a solid B tier.
Okay.
It's got its loyalists.
I think you can make the argument for A.
I think if it's not A, it's working its way there pretty soon.
I was going to say it's A, and the way that it's going, it could be like high AS, that kind of thing, if we want to get into something like that.
No.
I don't...
S is too much. Yeah, I can't do S.
I don't think it achieves...
How many hundreds of millions of copies has Mario sold?
Polluting into this. All right.
This is solid B tier.
If it's not A, it's on its way to A, definitely. Because it is gaining momentum now.
Is this going to be one of those lists where everything is S or A tier?
No.
Like, remember, we got to have... some shit.
Turok is on this list.
Turok is not a Nintendo franchise.
Okay.
But we are going to talk about things at some point like Pilot Wings and F-Zero or something like a Golden Sun. Like these things are going to be A or S tier. In fact, like I don't know that we will have any more actual S tier franchises other than our locks. Maybe.
Okay.
We'll see.
Okay.
Fire Emblem, I'm kind of maybe high B, like a B tier is appropriate.
Okay, I get that.
Because I don't know. I would really love to put it in as an A tier franchise because I really love it, but I don't know if it has achieved the sort of public notoriety.
See,
it hasn't. It doesn't have the sales or the reach that a lot of the other classics.
This is weird doing this tier system is based on like how popular it is and sales and viewpoints. I don't know.
I feel like it should be broken down by how the game actually is and how the games are. Typically, like, we're not actually
well. Then they're not good enough to attract fans.
A lot of our criteria are. Our criteria here isn't about the actual game. It's about, like, the game's impact on
And
things.
As I recall, like, that's what people kept saying about Three Houses. Was like, this is the best game they've made in, like, fucking 15 years or whatever. People were like, it's been a long time since this series has been relevant.
Well, I mean, I really like Radiant Dawn and Path of Radiance.
I would disagree. I would disagree with the people making that claim because I think Fire Emblem Awakening was very good. I think Fire Emblem
I think
Fire Emblem Conquest was quite good. Birthright, not as good. It's like I think that this series definitely has like a very high floor when it comes to the quality of
which
the
games. Is a B.
But to Wes's point, Wes is concerned about like actually bringing the quality of the game into discussion. I think that it's worth considering, but you do also have to consider that some of these franchises have gone on for so long.
Yeah,
you're
so
going
just,
to have
just,
a Mario Sunshine for every Mario Odyssey.
Is this a ranking system on its overall effect on the gaming industry, or is this a ranking on the actual quality of the game?
Quality of the game can come into play, but all you have to say, like public awareness of what it is, how well it sells, I think also feeds into like public awareness.
Okay.
Just how Nintendo treats it.
I didn't know how we were ranking these.
Then, okay, I mean, look, I'm saying B. If I feel like it would, I would grant it's a high B. If you guys feel like it's an A, I hope you think it's a low A.
No, I would, if it...
If you want to put it in A, put it in A, but by God, I hope it's like at the bottom of A.
If we're doing this based on like public opinion and viewpoints and stuff like that, then yeah,
I think
it's on its way to an A.
I think it's a fair way of looking at it. I think Nintendo themselves, like the way they treat this like an A-tier franchise, and that's what they want it to be.
Yeah.
They want it to have that perception. I think they might be on their way there. We'll see how Engage works out. It's certainly, like, if we did this sort of tier list 10 years ago, it would have been down at like a C or a D.
Oh, yeah.
It's risen a lot.
Oh, yeah.
So let's pencil Fire Emblem in for a B, and let's go to something more painful, Advance Wars.
I can't say anything on this. I never played any of them.
Yeah, we're in the mud right now because I haven't released the new one. But the original game is fantastic. They're two of the best DS games.
And this is a long-running franchise. This one also started back on the Famicom in the late 80s. They only came to Japan. It came out of Japan into the West on September 10th of 2001.
Without seeing the breadth of all of this, I don't know. I put this in maybe like a C tier.
I think a C tier is probably fair, especially since the most recent game keeps not materializing. We can't get a release date for it.
This is one of those games where, like, it's fucking perfect. Mm. Like, the gameplay is fantastic. Like, the actual game they made and the series, I've never played a bad one.
Mm.
Like, they're all solid. They have a really good formula. They nail it. It's just they haven't made that many of them, and they're not that popular.
Yeah, and the way... And Nintendo is perfectly comfortable with just delaying this game into oblivion. So they clearly don't hold it in that high a regard. So I think that a C is totally fair for Advance Wars, which sucks. It hurts. I love Advance Wars.
I mean, they could have reskinned it at this point. Just make it Nazis. I mean, everybody loves shooting Nazis.
It's our favorite pastime.
Yeah.
It's baseball and killing Nazis.
Yeah. They could have just reskinned it by now.
All right, and last one for this round, and we'll get to the rest of them. We'll break this up over several months. Xenoblade. This is another one where
I would like to say it's a B.
I think you're aiming low there. This is another one where I really think Nintendo themselves views this as an A-tier franchise. They really want this to be a thing. Now, has it achieved the public notoriety of it yet? I don't know. This is a franchise that I think is worth taking a second to talk about. Monolith Soft. They started out expatriates from different RPG developers like at Squaresoft and such. They started up their own studio in 1999. They actually started out as a subsidiary of Bandai Namco. They, while they were at Square, made Xeno Saga. And when they started their own development house and became a subsidiary of Namco, they started up the Xeno Gears series. Made three of those. Also made a couple of games for Nintendo, the Bat and Kaitos games on GameCube. And then in 2007, Nintendo became the majority shareholder. So now they're now a subsidiary of Nintendo. This is one of the most notable acquisitions that Nintendo made. So they clearly saw a lot of potential in this studio.
And soon they're going to buy Bethesda. So I mean,
yeah, they'll get there. This happened in 2007. So in 2010, we get Xenoblade.
So a long time ago.
And I think it was 2014, we get Xenoblade X. And then ever since Xenoblade 2 came out in 2017, they've been pumping out Xenoblade games. They get Xenoblade 2, Torn of the Golden Country, the Xenoblade Definitive Edition, and then Xenoblade 3 most recently. I think that it is achieving a bit of notoriety. I think it's got some public consciousness. I don't think we can put this one higher than Fire Emblem. I think it's probably getting to the same level as Fire Emblem. So I'm going to say B tier.
You guys are fucking absurd. For starters, getting back to Fire Emblem... I'm gonna put this out here. Splatoon sold more in 1 week of 10 million copies than the entire Fire Emblem franchise of 16 games combined.
Right, but we're not talking about Splatoon. We're gonna get to Splatoon.
Like, my God, the sales are pathetic. You've got 16 games here, and only three of them have even sold over a million.
Yeah.
What is this?
What do you think? Like a Famicom game is going to sell a million? Xenoblade, a Super Famicom game that didn't come out of Japan is going to sell a million copies? Of course it's not.
The Xeno series, by the way, has sold less than Fire Emblem.
That can't be the only metric, though.
I'm just telling you that it's an important fucking metric and they failed.
How is that a failure?
Selling games is pretty bad.
Well, I don't think that's
the greatest song ever made. I hope people listen to it.
I don't think that you can call a game that sells a million a failure. I think that we've gotten a skewed metric here where if a game doesn't sell 10 million copies is a failure. No, absolutely not.
Also worth noting, it looks like the Xeno Gears and Xeno Saga series at least are listed as PlayStation games.
Yeah, though those aren't.
Xenoblade Chronicles is the first actual Xenoblade game for a Nintendo.
Right.
And that was for the Wii.
Yeah.
So those are like a very, very new series.
Yeah.
That has a niche fan base that loves it. You literally love this game. It's like your
favorite. Ryan's making some points, though.
And it doesn't sell very well.
It sells very well. We're going to have to agree to disagree on that one.
Sounds very well, maybe in Japan, if the only thing that existed was Japan. You know, it does okay in Japan.
It's one of those games where I have conversations with people, and they're like, yeah, I'd like to play it at some point. But no way, other than you, I've never talked to somebody like, oh yeah, I play a lot of Xenoblade. I'm like, nobody fucking plays this.
I think that that's going to be a big obstacle for giving these things any... Like, again, that's why I'm like, you guys are crazy for wanting to... Fire Emblem was like anything better than a B.
Yeah, that's where we put it.
Yeah. Okay. Then, yeah, Xenoblade's B, too.
Oh, so we agree.
Oh, you're going to put it in B?
Yeah.
Yeah.
All
right. We're going higher than that. I would love to put it in A. I can't.
I would love to put it in an S. I can't.
Yeah. Again, these sales are not great.
They're good.
I don't know how Xenoblade 3 has sold, but it says here that Xenoblade Chronicles 2 is the highest selling of the series, and it sold 1.5 million copies.
Uh-huh.
I guess. Not great.
That is great.
Yeah.
A game sells a million units. It's done very well.
Mm-hmm.
Again, we've like gotten like this skewed perspective because Animal Crossing sells 85 million copies, and Mario Kart sells more copies than there are Switches.
Yeah, that's a fair point.
I mean, the market. Animal Crossing is one of those games you buy for like your 4-year-old and your 36-year-old. I mean, that's just
You gotta have two copies.
Everybody. Yeah. It hits a huge range, but you're not going to buy fucking Xenoblade for the 4-year-old. Like, it's just...
Gotcha.
It's a much smaller target.
Okay, and again, I'm just making sure this all balances out.
Uh-huh. I'm agreeing with both of you here, alright? I'm on everybody's side.
Ledger has to add up here, right?
Yeah.
C is the middle, and C should be what most of this is. Like, most...
You
got to have about 60% of this needs to be C or less.
I think that by the time we get to the end, this is going to be very pyramid-shaped.
Okay. All right. It seems like you're starting with some of these bigger franchises.
Yeah. So, we still got to talk about Clubhouse games.
I don't even know what that is. We'll put that one in the F tier.
We gotta talk about Chibi Robo, and there are gonna be things that end up in the F. So it's gonna, there probably won't be much in the F tier. When we get to F tier stuff, it's going to be like these franchises are abandoned, done. Like they're not going to make any more of these.
Okay.
But yeah. So we got our S tier figured out. I'll send you guys a copy of all these things. So if you want to add anything to it or make any amendments, we'll chip away at this as we go.
For this session?
Yeah, that's it for this session.
We're just gonna do those.
What did IGN rank these guys as? Did you write those down?
Oh, they were super top heavy. They were putting like so many things in S and A. They put Earthbound as an A tier franchise. And don't get me wrong.
It's got its devotees, but no.
When was the last time we got a new Earthbound?
Right, and we're never getting another new Earthbound. Like, yeah. It's done.
So I think they're talking about the quality of the game at that point.
They were talking about their personal opinion of it.
Okay.
I mean, if we want to talk about the quality of Earthbound, we'll do that on another podcast. That's not even in the top five for RPGs on its system.
Yeah.
Like, Earthbound is a fun little quirky game. There are so many better RPGs on the Super Nintendo. Anyway,
so they're viewing it. Their ranking system is based on their opinion of what they'd enjoyed, an overall scope like we're trying to do.
They're
doing the objective thing. We're doing the objective true list.
We're doing science here. And then there's like in such an like their insular internet bubble, they were talking about like, oh, if a new Earthbound game was announced, everyone would be so pumped. People would be so excited. Some people would. Sure. Everyone? Like, if somebody walked into a store and said, like, hey, the new Earthbound was announced. The new what?
Yeah. I mean, I played a bunch of Final Fantasies. I played Pokemon. I'm playing the fucking Digimon game. I've never played a fucking Earthbound.
a lot of that is because it's been, like, really inaccessible for a while until, like, it's available on Switch now.
It's been accessible for a while now, though.
Yeah, more than 9 months,
Since the before time.
Yeah, you could get it on your Wii U if you owned a Wii U. So
I've had, like, years to play one of these games. I still haven't played one of these games.
One of the funniest internet memes, like, Earthbound has this very devoted fan base. And some of them have even played Earthbound, but Earthbound like got like such
some of them have played it,
right? So it got this cult following that people who had never actually played the games would like engage with the community and like actually talk about the game. And one of like the best internet memes I'd ever seen was like, "Oh, I'm a huge fan of Earthbound. I can't wait to play it someday." Because yeah, the game had been really inaccessible for a while. Anyway, we've been going for too long.
Yeah,
we got our S tier pretty much locked in. Maybe a couple other things sneak in there. We'll see. And we got Fire Emblem Xenoblade in the B tier, Advance Wars in the C tier. I think that's fair.
I think you guys are being a little too generous to both Fire Emblem. Again, I hope that we're stacking a bunch of stuff on top of those two.
I'm saying B tier, and the way that they're picking up momentum with it for Fire Emblem, because they are giving it,
and
even with Xenoblade too, they're giving it some of these two systems,
and they are sort of prestige titles. Like Nintendo,
wants them to be successful.
Right, they're trying. They try very hard to market these things. They give these things a lot of attention. They believe in the quality of these things, so they want people to play them. It's starting to seem like Nintendo doesn't give a fuck at all about Advance Wars.
These games are like their child that they're trying to live vicariously through. Mm. One day you're gonna be the champion of the football team.
We could
like,
never be an RPG, so we're gonna let you.
Yeah, we're gonna do that for me. Like that's what they're doing. Right. So,
but yeah, well, we'll get to some A tier stuff and some lower tier stuff as we go. But okay. Next up's gonna be the retro show. It's gonna be a good one, you guys.
Yeah,
it's gonna be a big one.
Mm-hmm.
It's gonna be great. And then we'll wrap it all up with the official show at the end of the month. That's it. We're done here. Till next time.
So long.
Bye-bye. Thank you.